Yeah, man. You already know what the fuck it is, man. DJ Jerry, aka the voice of the streets. It's that Mixtape Trappers Radio, man. I got a legend in the building right now. Ronnie Bo, what's happening?
What it do, guy?
What it do, bro?
What's that word?
What's the word? Now, you finally this, dog. Mixtape Trappers Radio, bro. You in this, man.
Yeah, I supposed to have been here, man. I reached out to you like 10 years ago. And I was hurt, man. Cause,
Damn, bro.
I ain't getting no response, man. I was sad about that, man. I thought I, you know what I'm saying, but yeah, we here now, man.
We here,
bro. Everything happened for a reason.
Facts. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, bro. Like, I swear to God, of my kids, bro. Like, it'd be so many niggas that be saying that shit, bro. Like, nigga, I did not see the message, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't see it. Like, you know, Facebook should be tricky. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, though, we linked up, bro. We here.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but for the most, don't know, like, Free Ronnie Bo, you know what I'm saying, off the hunters. But like, I told a couple of niggas, I was like, man, I'm interviewing Ronnie Bo. That everybody thought I was talking about, bro. I was like, nah, this the OG Ronnie Bo, bro. Like, he's been around for a minute, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, he know my family, and I got a baby by his cousin, so
yeah,
he know exactly who the real Ronnie Bo is. But it ain't no smoking nothing. It's all love. It's just, next time Lil Bro do an interview or something, just let people know who the real Ronnie Bo is.
That's right.
So we don't, you know, have so much confusion.
That's right. Hell yeah, bro. But like, I ain't gonna lie, dog. We was doing Mixtape Trappers. We was doing the list, you know what I'm saying, the different generations. Like, who was, basically, who was each favorite rapper from each generation? Like, we did 2015 to 17, you know what I'm saying? We did the 2010s, and then we did 05. So 09, bro, dog, we had to put Ronnie Bo in there, bro. Like, I feel like the impact, like, from that, them years, maybe even before that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy. Like, and, like, I feel like people didn't understand how big you was in the city back then.
Yeah, for sure. That Coley sent me some comments from that post, and, you know, like,
yeah,
it got my attention. So I'm like, man. Hit Jerry, man. Tell me, we got to do an interview, man.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Like, hit Jerry. I got to address this. No, I didn't really want to respond to the comments, but I saw Two Real show love under there. Spoil Rotten.
Uh-huh.
A few other people show love. Coley show love. But it was somebody from Detroit on there talking about in Milwaukee, say they was wearing Cartiers before us or someone. None of them was wearing Cartiers. And what's crazy, though, is that same photo shoot from that picture you used.
Yeah, yeah.
I had my Cartiers on in that photo shoot. It's just like, I might want to take my glasses off sometimes and snap a few like this. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, if you look at, it's the 250th issue of the Source magazine.
250th.
I was in there with the Cartiers on. If you Google right now, 2012 David and Goliath Hip Hop, I was on that picture with Cartiers. They talking about when Lil Wayne stole my song.
Yeah.
Drake was on there. Nicki Minaj, you know, they stole my song back then. And the Top 40 charts posted an article about that, and it still up. And
yeah.
I had buffs, not just regular Cartiers, Buffalo Tux. Cartiers, and the picture was from like 08.
Damn.
You gotta think, I got locked up the end of 09.
Yeah.
So they used the picture from back then. I had did 4 years. I didn't get back out to like 2014. You know, if people want to do their research, shit, go. I just quoted the Source magazine in the Top 40 charts article. So, I mean, we ain't got to do no debating. The proof is in the pudding.
Facts. Yeah, but I remember I had seen Gangsta, you know what I'm saying? He was even, not on the post, but on another post, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was just like, man, why Detroit niggas think they invented buffs? They was like, wasn't nobody wearing buffs for 8 Mile.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, damn, bro, I didn't even think about that shit, bro. Not one nigga in 8 Mile had no buffs on.
Yeah. And I actually didn't even really like buffs at the time, like, I always been the type of nigga who like to stand out, do shit people not doing, wear shit they not wearing.
Mm.
But people were starting to catch on to Cartiers at the time. So when the buffs came out, it's like, I know niggas ain't going to be wearing these because they probably, for one, they might not be able to afford them.
Right.
And then they look like something different. So it's like, they want people to know that they wearing Cartiers. Like, when I first started wearing Cartiers to Woods, people was wearing Gazelles, Porter Ramones, Versace. People didn't even know what Cartiers was. Mm-hmm. And I liked it like that. You know what I'm saying? They, you know, you would have three niggas wearing different glasses, and my glasses cost more than all their glasses put together, and it probably looked like the cheapest, because, you know, Cartiers, especially back then, was plain as hell. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So that's the piece.
Yeah, they looked like nothing, but people who knew, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And who didn't know, like, y'all ain't up on shit anyway, so it don't matter, you know what I mean?
What's your earliest memory of, like, just seeing Cartiers or Buffs in Milwaukee, period? Like, what year you think?
In my hood, bro, I grew up on 10th and Ring, right? Yeah. Between Burleigh and Concordia. And the only person in the city I knew had Cartiers then was my big homie, Diac. Rest in peace, Diac.
Yeah.
And I looked up to Diac. Mm-hmm. So when I started getting enough money to buy me some Cartiers, I think it was 03 or 04, mm-hmm. I bought my first pair of Cartiers. So it wasn't nobody wearing them. And yeah. I was wearing them then because I'm looking up to Big Bro. You know what I mean? And he looked it good in them, man. I figured I would look just as cute in mine. You know what I mean? But yeah, so wasn't nobody wearing them motherfuckers back then, bro. Like, people from my hood, and we was all looking up to DA. You know what I mean? But I ain't see many people, nobody really in the city back in 03, 04. Yeah. Like, the Buffs came out at the end of 08.
Damn, okay, 08.
And I was the first, I could say I was the first rapper wearing Buffs. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Now, the first nigga, to be honest, my little nigga Nut and Ken, they went and bought Buffs together. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's when I really got up on Buffs. And some people, they so lost in the sauce, man. Like, people think all Cartiers is Buffs. No, it's Buffalo Tux. It comes from a real Buffalo Tux. They, you know, they horns or whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it was something different. So it's like, I'm going to wear these and I'm going to be able to stand out because don't nobody else got them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I ain't going to lie. I think I was in high school, bro. It was either my freshman year or sophomore year or something like that. But I know I was hearing the commercials on V100. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was hearing the, oh yeah, Ronnie Bo better than Jay-Z, you know what I'm saying? Like, then I heard the, man, Ronnie Bo, he dead. Like, you know what I'm saying? He dead, bro. Yeah, Ronnie Bo dead, bro. Like, so at school, like, that's all we thought you was dead, bro. Like, on some real shit. Like, we just, you know what I'm saying? We just thought you was dead. Like, a Milwaukee rapper to die, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, what was the marketing back then for you, like, as far as, like, doing them commercials for V100?
I was, again, trying to do stuff different, stand out. You weren't hearing no local rappers on radio back then, you know what I mean? And I was getting a little money, so I felt like, man, let me reach out to V100, see how much they had charged for some commercial. And then they just got to let me do and say whatever I wanted to say on there because I'm spending so much money and I'm a consistent client, you know what I'm saying? One time I go to the station and they... The owners was there, like the Clear, because it was owned by Clear Channel before it was owned by iHeart.
Yeah.
And they was up in there, and they like, oh, you the Ronnie Bo? You the one? And dude gave me his card, like, man, anytime, discount or whatever, you know, we got you. So I had ran a campaign because Jay-Z was about to drop the Blueprint 3.
Yeah, yeah.
And my album, I was really finna drop my album in June that year. Okay. But when I heard his was coming out September 11, I'm like, I'm going to hold back then. I'm going to drop mine the same day as his and then work my marketing plan around that. So, so the marketing plan was me and my manager, we acting like I'm somebody else, he's somebody else, arguing about who going to sell the most records. You know what I mean? And then that little publicity stunt or whatever you call it became the talk of the town. And then it starts spreading regionally and nationally, like wow, this shit worked. Like, it's crazy that you even brought that up because a lot of people will see my recent situation with Jay-Z and think that this little feud or whatever they want to call it just started. Like, nah, that shit back. Been over, what was that, 16 years or something?
For real. Well, that was like, what year you do? That was like 04? 04, 05, some shit.
No, the Jay-Z shit was like 09.
Oh,
09?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy, bro. Yeah, that's wild, dog. But shit, like, even the faking the death, like, it was just basically like, man, this is a way to get motherfuckers' attention. Basically.
No, see, it's a deep story behind that. That wasn't really no publicity stunt. Mm-hmm. Like, I had got word, it's crazy because I was beefing with this nigga Gutter, right?
Yeah.
No Love niggas. They basically from the hood too. They ain't far from it, but our love sectors didn't fuck with each other much back then. But I was beefing with him. You know, we had shootouts, we fought and everything, and then we got cool after we fought.
Mm-hmm.
So, like a couple years down the line, a nigga tried to pay him to kill me.
Mm.
And he didn't know we was cool. He thinking because we was beefing, like, this would be the perfect person. Because, dude, he was really like that. You know what I mean? Like, he had bodies, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And he locked up for bodies right now, you know what I mean? So, I guess he felt like, dude, the perfect person. So, the nigga Gutter end up calling me and say, you know, what's the name? Just tried to give me this much to kill you. And, to be honest, I felt offended. He tell me, like, I felt offended because the amount he tried to pay me, he basically, like, if he'd offered me more or this much, I ain't gonna lie, bro, I probably would have did it because I need it. But, you know what I'm saying? The nigga tried to little boy me, basically. And I'm like, yeah, so I'm like, just get the money, bro. I'll put something together and make it seem like I really died or got killed. Like, just get the money. So, at this time, I didn't even know the impact that I had on the city. You know what I'm saying? So, when I sent the text to a few people saying, Ronnie Bo had just got killed because somebody really got killed that night.
Mm.
So, when that happened, people thought it was me because of the text. Because it's like, Ronnie Bo just got killed over here. People going to the scene, the police even kind of help because they not identifying the body. So they like, damn, that's Bo, you know what I'm saying? And the shit spread it around the city. Like, I knew everybody. Reggie Brown, he was on V100. Homer Blow had his own radio station. So all these people announced my death. So it spread it around the whole city, you know what I mean? And it turned out, it seemed like a publicity stunt because everybody was talking about it. Yeah. But that wasn't really no publicity stunt. Bro got the money. He gave me half. And at the end of the day, my name was bigger at the, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. When it was all said and done.
That's crazy, bro. I never knew that shit, bro.
Yeah.
That shit wild. Hell yeah, but shit, you know, fast forward a little bit, bro. Like, I know you just dropped some shit with Ray, bro. Like, it's like two songs in one, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't gonna lie, like, that shit fire, bro. Like, I like the I'm my own boss. I like the second song better, but the other shit, that shit riding too, you know what I'm saying? Like, what made you want to drop, like, in this generation? You know what I'm saying? Like, right now, like, after all the stuff, after you went viral and everything, like, what made you still want to drop music?
I always had a passion for music since I was little, and with me getting all this publicity, like, literally worldwide, it's not just nationally no more. Like, I'm on platforms in the United Kingdom, man. I'm flying out to Vegas or L.A. or New York for interviews, you know what I mean? So people asking about the history, that's part of my history. So it's like, you could rap. So it's like, okay, I got to show I could really rap. Because this nigga right here, like, Coley.
Shout out Coley, man. He in the motherfucking, like, building, man. He in this bitch, man. Nigga Coley, man. He in this motherfucking.
A lot of people don't know, this was my childhood best friend since we was like 8.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we was kind of like rapping together since then.
Mm.
And then we started taking it serious when we was like 17. And we had started this, Grandma. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we was a group. It was me and him. Yeah. But Grandma, it was, you know what I'm saying? It was Ronnie Bo and Coley, you know what I mean? So, you know, and we have such an impact on the city. Like, I gotta really address this issue because, like, I don't get no fuck about no flowers or nothing like that. Don't nobody ever gotta give me no flowers. But the fact of the matter remains that me and Coley started some shit all the way back then. And then me and Coley fell out for whatever reasons. Like, it wasn't even as deep as people thought. Like, me and this nigga was still talking when people said, was saying we was beefing. If anything happened to him, I'm still the first nigga reaching out, bro, you good?
Facts. And
it was the same way, but we just, we distance ourselves. So, after we distance ourselves, well, even before that, my nigga Money Marv from Brown.
Yeah, so Money Marv, man.
He was always saying, like, bro, y'all got to get Larry Bird on the track. He cold. And to be honest, like, I always been stubborn. Like, I fuck with who I fuck with. I ain't no Bird like that. And I wasn't really, to be honest, I wasn't interested in even hearing him. It's like, man, me and bro campaigning, and that's what it is. But when we separated, Coley kind of like took Bird under his wing, and they started doing what me and Coley was doing, and then Larry Bird started popping. So a lot of people in the city would like accredit Larry Bird for, you know,
birthing the trap shit.
Yeah, certain movements in Milwaukee. Yeah. Like when Bird did it, like that's when everybody started doing it. But mm-hmm. even Bird, like when I was locked up, I put him on his first two radio shows back then, because I was trying to get him to rock with this. Like when me and him, when me and bro separated, he started his own shit, Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
And then he brought Bird in. So, and then they started like recruiting people from all over the city.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I was still cool with Bird at the time. Like Bird even bought dope from me a couple times back then. So when I heard he was popping, you know, I wanted to help push him. So yeah. I'm locked up, and he was cool. Somebody I had called, and I'm like, you know, tell Bird, no, I'm gonna call him. Give me his number. I called him like, bro, look, I'm still plugged with all these people. Like, I'm finna get you on radio, put him on radio, and then, you know, when Coley got out, they really started campaigning and became like one of the biggest groups in Milwaukee. Like ever, but it's like still like not to take credit for nothing, but it's like a lot of that shit came from a foundation that I established, or if you want to say we, then me and Coley, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's crazy. I ain't even look at the shit like that. I ain't even look at the shit like that, bro. That's crazy. I ain't know you and bro started, like, you know what I'm saying? But shit, like, would y'all do a song now? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a different, everybody know the Milwaukee music scene going crazy. Like, would y'all link up now, like, and do some shit?
Who, Bird?
Yeah.
I don't got nothing against Bird, but, like, I'ma just leave it between me and him. Like, we talked since then, and it didn't go nowhere. So, I'ma just leave it right there. Like, it's not gonna go nowhere, because now we don't got nothing to talk about, you know what I mean? But it ain't no smoke, you know what I'm saying? If he want to make it out of smoke, then cool. But I don't got nothing against Bird, you know. He one of the coldest rappers. They come from Milwaukee, and I wish him the best.
Facts. Yeah, shout out Bird, man. Hell yeah, dog. Like, on the video, you know what I'm saying, I seen at the beginning, you had Jaguar Ride Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all was kicking it, you know what I'm saying? But on the same song, you said she said you owe her an apology. Like,
no, she said that on her channel. She got a YouTube channel.
Okay.
And she said I owe her an apology for some dumb shit. And it's like, okay, since, because she had two of these numbers, you know what I'm saying? She could have called me and said that. So since she brought it to the internet, it's like, I'm going to do the same thing you did. I'm going to address it on the internet then. Or address it. You wanted everybody to know that we had a disagreement, so I'm gonna address it in the interview or on a song. You know, I could have called her and said, "Jag, what, you know, what you mean? You know what I mean?" But it's like, okay, you put the business out there for the world to know that we had some disagreements behind the scenes. So now I'm gonna address it the same way you put it out there. But I got love for Jaguar, right? You know, we actually finna do a song together for my new album.
Okay.
So, yeah. Coley is gonna be on there too, though. That's another nigga, like, on some real shit, despite all the problems me and bro and ups and downs we had over the years, I never took away his credibility. Like, that nigga is a lyricist, for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, me and him used to dissect Eminem and Nas and Jay-Z verses back then, and aspire to do them better and was doing them better.
Yeah.
And he was the only nigga that was able to do that like me. So, I mean, people still sleeping on Coley. I hope he, get back focused and get a world some good music as well.
Facts. I was about to say, dog, because his ass, he's talented, bro. Like, he just, I just feel like if he would have been, never got locked up, I feel like he would be in the same boat. You know what I'm saying? As all the rest of the rappers out right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If he didn't get locked up.
He just full of shit, too, though, to be honest. Like, no, because he still, that's no excuses. He been out now. He could have,
yeah.
He was recording. He just ain't put shit out. You know what I mean? So I'll be telling him that, you know what I'm saying? He right here, so it's not like I'm talking behind bro back. I'll be telling him that, like, bro, like, get in the studio, my nigga. You one of them ones. Like, what we doing? But he be, you know, bro, doing his own thing, got his own life. So when he get ready, I guess he'll come back.
Bullshit. Hell yeah, because I know, like we said earlier, you do a lot of interviews, you know what I'm saying? Like, you did plenty, like, the Juice Talk shit went super viral, bro. Like, just about the whole R. Kelly situation, I done seen you on plenty of different podcasts, bro, with 500,000 views, you know what I'm saying? Like, just talking about the situation, bro, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody, like, some people familiar with it, some people ain't, you know what I'm saying? But, like, you was basically cellies with R. Kelly when you got locked up. You know what I'm saying?
That's, these podcasters, bro, they be putting that in their descriptions or their titles for clickbait. I was never his cellie.
Okay.
We was in the same building for like 21 months, down there 2 years.
Okay.
And we was on the same unit for like a little over 30 days.
Okay.
So at that time, I was able to talk to him every day, but we was never in a cell together. You know what I mean? I tell all these bloggers everywhere, I tell them, bro, he was never my cellie, and they had still put that in the title, R. Kelly cellmate. I guess they feel like that's going to make it more interesting.
Yeah.
But, no, we was in the same building for sure for 21 months.
That's crazy. What shit, like for you seeing him just for that 21 months, like, was motherfuckers trying to try him or, like, just try to fuck with him just because he was him? You know what I'm saying?
See, when he first came in the building, couldn't nobody try him because he was on protective custody.
Okay.
But because I was a book author, I wanted the nigga to get on general population so motherfucking bad. You know what I'm saying? I started telling everybody who could possibly make it happen, like, bro, could we somehow let the institution and let R. Kelly know that he going to be safe on general population?
Thanks.
And everybody was taking me as a joke at first, like, bro, you know, can't no rats or no pedophiles, you know, beyond general population, bro. But it's like, I'm painting a picture to them just like I do to the media. Like, bro, how we know he did that? Because if they did this to Tupac and Mike Tyson and Kobe Bryant and Bill Cosby and Michael Jackson, like, we got to get to the point. I mean, we got to eventually get to the point where we start looking at things different. Like, why every time an influential black man becomes so iconic, y'all want to put a sex crime on him. Like, so I didn't think he did it. And I wanted to hear his side of the story. And because I was a book author already, I wanted to be the one to put a book out about his side of the story.
Right.
So, you know, I painted the picture to everybody in there who was shot callers or whatever. You know, I grew up GD, so the GDs embraced me. They was the biggest gang out there in MCC Chicago. My celly, RIP Cheeks Money, he got killed shortly after he got out, but that was my cellmate, and he was he had it for the Vice Lords there. So, and then I was cool with the Latin Kings too. So, you know, I holla at every car like, man, would he be cool? Could we get the message out that he'd be cool? So, they put the message out to him and the staff, and R. Kelly had his lawyer put the paperwork in, and next thing you know, he was on general population, and we was chopping it up about a lot of shit, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy, bro.
Yeah,
because I seen all the interviews. I seen you tell you talked about Aaliyah, Jay-Z not being an Illuminati, but being in a group, a higher power group and shit like that. Like, you just, like, vibing with him and seeing, like, how much of it do you believe and how much you think it just, like, his opinion or just, like, bullshit?
I believe damn near everything R. Kelly told me because he didn't have no reason to lie to me. Like, right. A lot of people thought he was afraid of me in there, and he might have been, but not for the reasons you would think. Like, around this time, you got to think, I'm in MCC Chicago.
Yeah.
This is the federal holding facility for anybody in Chicago with a federal case. And this is the third biggest city in the United States of America. So you got tycoons. You got a lot of big people in here. Now, El Chapo, his whole cartel was in there at the time.
Damn.
And El Chapo's nephew, Chewy, he was only finna get 5 years, bro. Like, they couldn't tie him to none of the drugs, none of the killings. All they had on him was, like, $2 billion worth of money laundering or tax invasion or something like that. But he, you know, we all think we comfortable because we check paperwork, make sure it ain't no rats on general population. But somebody who wasn't telling started telling while they was on general population. And he got under Chewy, and Chewy goofy ass started telling him about drugs. And he went as far as, it sounded like a movie, bro, but Chewy had some bricks sent to the man. You know what I mean? And so he went from finna get 5 years to getting 25 years. And this was the talk around the building. So everybody's scared. So when I'm trying to chop it up with R. Kelly about what's going on with him and trying to get information out of him, like, he'd talk about industry secrets, conspiracy theory, Illuminati and stuff. But when it came down to his case and Aaliyah and certain stuff like that, he'd look at me like, man, is this nigga trying to set me up? You know what I'm saying? And I think he really thought that. So I'm thinking I'm finna make myself look good by having the GDs go holler at him and be like, man, look, he one of us. He's solid. He for sure ain't trying to do that, or he wouldn't even be on a car with us. But R. Kelly took that as a threat. You know what I mean? And so they moved me off the unit with him because it's like the rumor started spreading. Like, first it was a joke, like Ronnie Bo trying to extort R. Kelly to sign a contract for a book deal. And it was a joke at first, but then the joke got to COs, and they don't play about stuff like that. So it's like, man, let's get dude sneaky ass off the unit with R. Kelly. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah, man. Because I know earlier we was watching the Chop interview. Then, like, I know you said he put a stat up or something that said basically shit like Ronnie Bo inspired me. You know what I'm saying? Like what was that like? Even just, you know what I'm saying, like being mentioned like that and still inspiring the new motherfuckers today.
Well, it's inspiring for somebody like Chop to even say that because, like, we ain't from the same. Our hood is so segregated, you know what I'm saying, and divided. Like, I'm off 10th Street. They off 12th Street. And we don't fuck with each other like that. Like, the real ones from over there fuck with the real ones from our hood. And so me and Chop always fuck with each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So before he even started rapping, I had impacted the city. So him seeing somebody from his same neck of the woods. Hold on, let me call him.
Yeah, call his ass, man.
Y'all gonna be, they gonna be
yeah.
here.
Yeah, we just put her on the mic. Yep. Yeah.
He'll call back.
Yeah. Definitely got to get his ass back on here, too. Talk about, you know what I'm saying, bringing that shit up if he don't call back. But shit, yeah, dog, but that shit crazy.
Yeah, I'll text you now.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that shit crazy, dog. Because like I said earlier, like, you done been in plenty of interviews, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I know you said you had turned down a No Jumper interview. Like, what made you turn it down?
I'm gonna show you this motherfucker. Matter of fact, but this was even before Brick Baby and Big U and Loose Cannon and all them got indicted, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm seeing stuff going on there. It was just too much clowning, too much goofy shit.
For me. Yeah.
Like, I'm seeing people talk about stuff that could get them back in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just did something when the cameras off, they could get me back in jail. Like, why y'all on here showing guns and shit, bro? And now this same shit is in y'all indictment. So I'm seeing that. And then Wack 100, like, he know he know I don't like him, and he one of they hoes. So, and the thing is, not that I was worried or scared, but I had did a podcast in L.A.
Yeah.
Not that long before that.
Yeah.
And they were saying I got to check in. Like, bro, I'm from Milwaukee, bro.
You got to check in?
The podcast host. Oh, because Big U had just went on there. You know, Big U the one supposed to have Nipsey Hussle killed and all that, and he supposed to be this big gang leader out there. So he had just did a podcast 4 months before I went on there on the same podcast. Yeah. And he's saying nobody's safe. He talking about the PNB Rock, making it seem like he had something to do with PNB Rock, and saying if he'd have checked in, that wouldn't have happened. So I'm like, bro, I'm from Milwaukee, bro. You know what I mean? Like, we don't care about none of that out here. You know what I mean? So, we not. Then they saying it's disrespectful to wear your jewelry. So, this little shit ain't nothing. It's just some I took off somebody's neck who owed me some money. And my dead brother, though. No. But I liked it how I look around my neck, so I thought I'd wear it. You know what I mean? But my guy, Pluck, who came out there with me, he had a nice piece on. So we weren't worried about that. We came out there like that, took pictures, had fun. And if you look at the interview, you could tell me and Pluck was a little hostile on there. And that was because of the talks that we had before coming on here, just to let you know, like, bro, we not worried about Big U or nobody else on there. But see, No Jumper, not only the clown shit, it's people like 607 Unk that done said, they tried to line him up and set him up going on No Jumper. So that's in my mind, too. Like, okay, this type of games y'all playing, like, I'm not even going to put myself in no situation like that because I just got off Fed papers in 2 months ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could be tough, and we could come out there with guns. California, they got gun laws so strict. Like, in Milwaukee, people could carry guns legally. I can't. You know what I mean? But people can here. Out there, nobody can. So it's like, even if we come out there on that like that, I'm still putting myself in a situation for destruction. So it's like, should I? You know what I mean? Yeah, I might want to prove a point, but it's like, it's not worth it. And then I'm already knowing during this interview, y'all going to say some shit that's going to piss me off. Y'all going to try to ask me about some shit that could get me locked up. Like, nah, it just wasn't worth it.
Yeah, but what, he ain't trying to cash you?
No Jump. Hold on. Let me bring up this. Let me bring up this message real quick.
All right. Cause I was about to say, dog. It was out of...
So just read right there.
Show the camera. If he can.
Dude, right here who talking to me. He a host on No Jumper too. He got a big platform.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. It's like, bro, we supposed to be doing this shit on your show. Why you keep saying No Jumper?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like,
what the? Who is that?
Poetic Flacco.
Flacco, yeah.
That's him.
Yeah.
Could you see the whole message? I just want to show you the part where look, right here. I'd rather be on your platform than No Jumper, to be honest, bro. They do too much clowning over there for me.
Facts.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy, bro.
But yeah.
Yeah, but if he would have cashed, y'all just fucking said, fuck it, gave his ass dry as energy. Take his money.
I ain't even let them get to that point because it's like, it still wouldn't have been worth it either. I'm going to put myself in a situation where I'm going to have to kill somebody or I could get killed. You know what I mean? It wasn't worth it.
Facts. Yeah, that shit crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild, bro. Like, yeah, man, we definitely got to bring you back on this motherfucker. You might damn near be a regular on this bitch, dog, because we got so much shit to talk about, bro. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Next time I come, though, bro, I'm going to wear my motherfucking black Ku Klux Klan outfit, man. This nigga, Coley, bro, this nigga, I wake up actually to a text from him that he sent 5 a.m. saying, bro, you got an interview with Mixtape Trappers. I'm thinking like, bro, I asked you to reach out to this nigga like a week or two ago. Like, why would you tell me the day up?
Right.
Like, I ain't got time to get ready or do nothing. But it's like, all right, cool. I've been trying to... you know, link with Jerry for a minute anyway. Yeah. Let me go ahead and knock this out. But, yeah, next time I'm come with the Black Ku Klux Klan outfit, you know what I'm saying, and really go in and, you know, talk about things, you know, that should be spoke about. You know what I mean? Like, right now I'm out the streets. I retired from the streets. Like, God is my witness on my dead brother. I would not lie on them. But, you know, you could take me out the streets, but you can't take the streets out of me. You know what I mean? So sometimes it may still go there. But right now, like, I'm blessed, bro. My girlfriend, a lawyer, you know, I ain't finna mess up all this for doing dumb shit.
No bullshit. You already know what the fuck it is, man. DJ Jerry, a.k.a. the voice of the streets. It's that motherfucking Mixtape Choppers Radio, man. I got a goat in this motherfucker. Ronnie Bo, what's happening?